But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with highlights from the first presidential debate, move on to the Supreme Court overturning the Chevron deference, and follow all of that up with how Project 2025 is already ruining your life. Let's begin, shall we? I think we should address the grumpy old men in the room. And by that, I mean the first presidential debate of 2024, otherwise known as the argument at Shady Pines. Here's some of the most geriatric moments of the night, because making you sit through the entire 90 minutes would just be cruel.
How do you like that, you putz?
Boy, you dirty, I'll kill you.
You ruined my refinished seats.
You broadcast my naked ass a half a Wabasha.
Big deal. Take that damn near killed my cat.
That mangy animal's been crapping on my paper for years.
But ugly.
If my dog was as ugly as you, I'd shave his ass and teach him to walk backwards.
Okay. I am so sorry. I must have played the wrong clip, although that is not that far off from what actually happened on CNN, and not in front of a live audience, I might add. Spoiler alert, for good reason. Roll the tape.
Spent half my career being criticized being the youngest person in politics. I was the second youngest person ever elected to the United States Senate, and now I'm the oldest. This guy's 3 years younger and a lot less competent.
Well, I took two tests, cognitive tests. I aced them. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships.
But by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
Did the speech I made in front of, I believe, the largest crowd I've ever spoken to, and I will tell you, nobody ever talks about that. They talk about a relatively small number of people that went to the Capitol. I wish he was a great president, because I wouldn't be here right now. Because he indicted me because I was his opponent.
You're a whiner. The only person on this stage is a convicted felon is the man I'm looking at right now. You have the morals of an alley cat.
I can't even this election year. So Fox Not a News Channel alumni Sean the Neck Hannity was convinced before the debate that old Joe would be jacked up. But it turns out neither of the candidates used performance-enhancing drugs before they got on stage. And it shows. Because if this first debate is any indication of what we have to look forward to...
On a scale from 1 to 10, my friend, you're fucked. In lack of other words, I'd say you're fucked.
And that's not hyperbole, my friends. Right now, we are being forced to decide between a man who is so old the common cold can debilitate him and a traitorous bottle of outdated orange spray tan. And while I don't like these options any more than most of you do, let's take a logical look at what's at stake. On Biden's side, there's a fuck all being done to stop Israel genociding their way all across the Gaza Strip. But on the bright side, at least he's finally ready to codify Roe v. Wade after 52 years of public office. So there's that. But on the other side, we have Schittler, the poorly educated excuse for a dictator, and what his Republican Jesus freaks want haktua all over America, which is far worse than any senior moment with Joe. I've said it before on this show, and I think it bears repeating. A vote for tons of oranges is giving your consent to the Christian nationalist plan to remake America in Republican Jesus image, and that plan has a name. It's called Project 2025, brought to you by the Heritage Foundation. Ironically, the same Heritage Foundation that provided Mambu Mussolini with his picks for the bogus SCOTUS, people like Neil Nepo Baby Gorsuch, Beer Kavanaugh, and Amy Karen Barrett. And what will become most important as we go on with this show, but for now, let's take a moment to let the Heritage Foundation explain themselves in the most creepy way possible. Just what the actual fuck is Project 2025?
On Inauguration Day,
the 4 years ahead
seems like an eternity.
It's not.
Because the left has engineered our government and institutions
to reject conservative ideology. The 2025 Presidential Transition Project
brings together conservative organizations
to ensure the policy and personnel are in place
on January 20th, 2025.
Using four pillars,
we are laying the foundation
for the next president
to end Washington's bureaucracy and restore American prosperity.
Oh, well, that sounds like everything our country does not stand for, and that's because it is. Project 2025 is a little idea that the Christian Reich cooked up in 1985 when they called themselves the Council for National Policy. This group cooked up the concept of replacing politicians, judges, and government officials with Christian nationalists who would change our foundational rule of law into the rule of Jesus. They started laying down the groundwork for Project 2025 during the Big Lebowski's first occupation of the White House, with appointing three evangelical jesters to the supreme disappointment and 234 federal and state Christian jesters. Their job is very simple: to rule in line with Christian ideology any way they can. But that's not all Project 2025 has in store for us.
Spearheaded by conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, is a years-in-the-making, 900-plus page presidential transition plan giving Team Trump a detailed blueprint for a potential second term.
Weaponized conservatives ready to do battle against the deep state.
With its stated goal being, quote, to assemble an army of aligned, vetted, trained, and prepared conservatives to go to work on day one to deconstruct the administrative state. The project is built on four pillars. There's the policy agenda, personnel, training, and a 180-day playbook to execute the think tank's plans. Many authors of the blueprint are former Trump officials.
A federal government under much tighter presidential control. Even now, independent agencies like the Department of Justice would answer almost entirely to the president. Big cuts to corporate taxes and income tax for America's highest earners. Cuts to federal investments in renewable energy and carbon reduction goals, and more fossil fuel and energy production. Also taking aim at what it calls woke culture warriors, calling for deleting a long list of terms from all federal rules, including sexual orientation and gender identity. It also would eliminate the education department.
If we don't win, this country is finished.
And just so that we're clear, when maggots say the deep state, they're talking about our current form of administrative government. For example, the bogus SCOTUS just reversed the Chevron deference, a 1984 ruling from the same court that says courts will defer to the expertise of government agencies when interpreting a law Congress wrote purposefully vague, because that just makes fucking sense. You go to the expert when you have an issue, not some asshole who claims that they know everything.
To be very clear, what this case is about is power. The way it is right now and the way it's been for the past 40 years, experts get to fill in the gaps. People who know things get to fill in the gaps. Science and math and facts get to fill in the gaps. What the conservatives want is to take that power away from the president, away from the executive agencies, and give it to themselves. So there will still be regulation after this case. It's just that Neil Gorsuch gets to decide how much mercury is allowed to be in the air. And John Roberts gets to decide how many people can die in a thresher mill accident before we declare it unsafe. And Brett Kavanaugh gets to decide what banking regulations really should matter. And this is part of the general conservative movement. They understand that judges hold lifetime power and are not subject to the whim of the people. And so destroying the regulatory state through judges is now preferable for conservatives, as opposed to trying to win their arguments at the ballot box, where they often fail.
And the advantage here is court judges and lawyers don't really know fuck all about how much lead should be in paint and whether or not that's even dangerous, or whether salmonella should be in your food, or if it's a good enough reason to recall products. Because thanks to Republicans pre-gaming Project 2025, we no longer have the privilege of experts when it comes to allowing or prohibiting anything. The FDA's panel of experts deciding on what's safe for us to eat, drink, and medicate our bodies with is now neutered, and the Christian-minded judges will be the ones to choose. The Consumer Protection Bureau will no longer hold corporations accountable, but rather unqualified judges who will rule on how much companies can fuck over their customers and how dangerous their products can be. But what about employees of these companies? Well, Project 2025 hasn't forgotten about you little worker bees. Here is the co-author of the project and former director of the federal regulatory agency known as the Office of Budget and Management under the former guy's administration, Russell Vaught, to explain.
We have a number of ideas, most notably Schedule F, which allows us to reclassify. If you work on policy, you have the opportunity to be reclassified and turn into an at-will employment. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're going to get fired tomorrow, but that does mean that you are now working for the president of the United States. You're not working for your own institution or your own institutional benefits.
Of course not, because six morons on the Supreme Intelligence has just decided that experts are full of shit and only judges know what's up. So without the protection of the Department of Labor, being an at-will employee is just the least of your worries. Now you've got to start wondering about wage protection, workplace safety standards, wrongful termination prohibitions, and not being sexually harassed at work, because there is no regulatory agency that can force your employer to do the right thing unless a judge told them to. Oh, but if you are a faithful maggot, job security takes on a whole new meaning, according to Project 2025's co-author and aptly named CEO of the Heritage Foundation, Mr. Kevin Roberts.
You can't really do anything until you remove what has been identified as the problem, and that is 50,000 federal employees. Recruit 20,000 people to serve in the next administration as a down payment on 4,000 presidential appointments plus potential replacements for as many as 50,000 federal workers who are policy adjacent, as Trumpers put it.
And 95% of them who give political contributions, give them to the Democratic Party. Because over the last century, the radical left has seen the administrative state as the fourth branch of government.
The folks you're identifying who are Trump aligned are the ones who are going to be coming
in. You are positing that those people are incompetent.
Oh, no, bad sir. Incompetence is a given when you're talking about Dolt 45's cult members, because we all know Orange Treasonous loves the poorly educated. What putting loyalists in place of actual employees does is ensure control over every department of the government remains in those tiny little hands of your dear leader.
Do you want people doing scientific research at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission who don't have the qualifications to perform that kind of work? Their only qualification is an allegiance to the Trump agenda? It's very disheartening, and it's scary. I think that there will be a massive exodus of competence.
Unfortunately, I agree with you, because I recall the lumbering lardass appointing a neurosurgeon to head the Department of Housing and Urban Development because he was a black man, and black men know all about urban things. You know, black people jobs. And while we're on the subject of they took our jobs, Project 2025 has plans for the working class. One of those really stupid ideas is to put a stop to brown people coming into this country, specifically single men ages 18 to 29, and not for the reasons that you think. Here's the Heritage Foundation's own Kevin to explain.
The deportation of immigrants, how you see a future administration utilizing the National Guard, ICE, police forces to deport something like 11 million people.
There's going to be a lot of self-deportation. Simply talking about this and beginning to implement a plan and causes people to say, I don't want to run the risk of being arrested for doing something illegal.
So what do these people do?
Which people?
The folks, the 11 million, 20 million, whatever you want to deport.
A lot of them are committing crimes. A lot
in
of
Texas,
examples of
this. Undocumented immigrants were 37.1% less likely to be convicted of a crime.
What percentage of those individuals that you want to get rid of, move out of the country, actually commit crimes?
Our analysis in Texas, Georgia, and New York shows that a preponderance of the illegals who have come in
I don't know what's that number.
Are unattached male.
Oh, so even though undocumented immigrants are committing a fraction of the crimes U.S. citizens happen to be doing, they've got to go, especially since these are young Hispanic men, which kind of got me thinking. One out of every 10 marriages in the United States is an interracial marriage. And the Hispanic population in America, currently being over 64 million, means chances are there's quite a few less white kids being born. And to a maggot, that means reduce the amount of brown men and the Aryan race stays bleach blonde white. But if that doesn't work, Schittler has a really dumb solution that he would like to share with the class.
Dana White. Did anyone ever hear of Dana White? He's a legend, right? UFC, ultimate fighter, ultimate fighting. And he's a fantastic man. I said, Dana, I have an idea. Why don't you set up a migrant league of fighters and have your regular league of fighters? And then you have the champion of your league. These are the greatest fighters in the world. Fight the champion of the migrants. I think the migrant guy might win. That's how tough they are. He didn't like that idea too much, but actually, it's not the worst idea I've ever had. No, it's these are tough people. These people are tough and they're nasty, mean.
You know, I thought when he said with his whole chest that boat batteries in the water electrifies the water, I thought that was bad. But this is some next level Hunger Games meets Running Man bullshit. And basically, if Sir Craps in His Pants a Lot is reelected, he wants to bring ultimate migrant fighting to pay-per-view. And why not? He's making money selling shoes and pictures that you can copy on the internet. Oh, and let's not forget, the Department of Immigration is one of those regulatory bodies his supreme jesters just did away with when they said the Chevron deference will no longer empower the experts to make decisions. So, who's going to stop the blindingly bald Nazi and current advisor to Trader Don's presidential campaign from doing this?
So you grab illegal immigrants and then you move them to the staging grounds, and that's where the planes are waiting for federal law enforcement to then move those illegals home. You deputize the National Guard to carry out immigration enforcement, and then you also deploy the military to the southern border. The military has the right to establish a fortress position on the border and to say no one can cross here at all.
And if that isn't a migrant reboot of Nazi Germany concentration camps, I just don't know what is. Sure, round up all the brown men you've got in your country and put them in one place so they can't impregnate your women. And as a bonus, you can get rid of them faster, you know, because they're concentrated in one spot. For fuck's sake, these pasty supremacists are saying the Nazi part out loud just because they can. They've got 74 million morons who voted for Erikstad in the last presidential election, which he lost. And then they were able to round up about 25,000 fourth meal warriors from Walmart to insurrect all over the Capitol with their own fecal matter. So this election year, we're going for dictatorship with Project 2025 as their manifesto, because they've already accounted for the institutionalization of Trumpism.
You told the New York Times that this plan is a plan that is for anyone. It's not just for Donald Trump.
Project 2025 is something that's going to transcend the next 4 years, the next 10 years. It really is, for the first time in the history of the conservative movement, the apparatus for policy and personnel.
You have said that this plan is about institutionalizing Trumpism.
The work of the Heritage Foundation was to institutionalize Trumpism. Trumpism as a new version of conservatism. And right now, Donald Trump, whether someone likes it or not, I happen to like it, is the standard bearer.
No, he's not. So you're trying to tell me a supersized shadow of a man who obviously cannot stand up straight or verbalize a complete thought and isn't convincing anyone that the bleached trash panda swirled on top of his head is actual hair is the standard bearer for the Republican Party. This schmuck shit himself on stage at his first presidential debate this year. What is he going to do at the second? Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to know. Anywho, since we're talking about Project 2025 and the Supreme Jester's decision to remove experts from policymaking, what about the Department of Education? Well, cosplaying evil villain from the Vought Corporation, Russell Vought, has a few choice words to say about that.
I am opposed to the Department of Education because I think it's the Department of Critical Race Theory.
100%.
I mean, you have grants after grant of culturally responsive learning where you're funding essentially a cultural revolution, not just with teachers, but with the students. That's what all this wokeism is about.
Yeah, I see. The woke is the problem. See, we're going about this all wrong, teaching our kids empathy and inclusion and fairness, when that doesn't at all mesh with the Christian Nationalist feral cult members and what they're trying to install. So Louisiana got your back when they decided to make a head start on Project 2025 by declaring that the Ten Commandments would be displayed in every single classroom in their state. And then the Oklahoma superintendent of schools took a look at that and said, hey, hold my white claw.
Regarding the Bible and the Ten Commandments, my staff has been looking at Oklahoma statute. We've been looking at Oklahoma academic standards. And it's crystal clear to us that in the Oklahoma academic standards, the Bible is a necessary historical document to teach our kids about the history of this country, to have a complete understanding of Western civilization, to have an understanding of the basis of our legal system, one of the most foundational documents used for the Constitution and the birth of our country. You're not going to find the separation of church and state in the Constitution. It's not there. You're not going to see the founders describe religion in this way. We also find major points in history that refer to the Bible, that reference the Bible. It is essential that our kids have an understanding of the Bible and its historical context. So we will be issuing a memo today that every school district will adhere to, which is that every teacher, every classroom in the state will have a Bible in the classroom and will be teaching from the Bible in the classroom to ensure that this historical understanding is there for every student in the state of Oklahoma in accordance with our academic standards and state law.
You know, the reason why I know that this is full of shit is the Oklahoma school districts already provide Bible class for students who want to take it as an elective. But apparently that is just not good enough, especially after the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled that a Catholic school teaching biblically based curriculum could not receive state funding through vouchers. So the super idiot of public schools in Oklahoma decided to make every public classroom a Bible study. Because either way, Oklahoma taxpayers are going to fund religious indoctrination. And thanks to the SCOTUS jesters reversing the Chevron deference, Oklahoma can, because the Department of Education no longer has regulatory power over ensuring every state's curriculum follows the U.S. Constitution. Which brings me to women's reproductive rights, because Project 2025 has not forgotten about us, or how much they want to control my body, and yours, if you have a vagina. As a preview of Maggot America, nearly half of the country restricts abortion right now, either through access or completely outlawing it. Alabama says clumps of cells are children too, and having protected sex is becoming harder to do now that access to contraception is being limited because of states' rights. Also, because Project 2025 cares only about the life of an unborn person.
In Louisiana, in places all over this country, abortion care is unavailable to people that may need it. You and the organization in this plan talks about changing the Department of Health and Human Services to the Department of Life.
Abortion's not health care. Really interesting, if not worse, that you wouldn't support the change of the department name to the Department of Life. I thought we were all in support of life.
Does Heritage and Project 2025 believe that a woman should be able to have an abortion if her doctor says that she needs one? It's a yes or no question.
Abortion is not health care. So abortion is the murder of a human being.
Except it's not. But anyway, Changing the name of the Department of Health to the Department of Life is smug and diabolical. Because I don't understand who these cracker-ass crackers are concerned about and whose life they're trying to protect, except people who haven't been born yet. It's certainly not the life of the mother. Because current abortion laws are driving our mother mortality rates up by 3 times more in maggot-controlled states. And don't even get me started on what they want to do with the Comstock Act.
A coalition of conservative groups called Project 2025 has big plans for the Trump administration and the Comstock Act, the 1873 zombie law that prohibits the mailing of substances used for abortion and birth control.
Comstock is this law from 1873, a law by this notoriously prudish anti-vice crusader who kind of took pride on hounding people to their deaths in some cases, mm-hmm. and imprisoning people, burning books, going after, you know, some of the great works of literature. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, you started hearing from anti-abortion activists, this is still on the books. In the 2025 Project's huge blueprint for what they would want to do in a second Trump administration, one of the things they say is that we can enforce the Comstock Act.
Because getting healthcare through the mail shouldn't be an option to women. They might be trying to get rid of or prevent a pregnancy. And since every sperm is sacred, except for the ones that get wiped into a sock, we have to make sure whenever a woman is injected, she stays that way. Which makes total sense why controlling women's bodies is an obsession for the cult of Christian incels trying to take over this country. Because not only do they want to have a woman's ovaries under his eye, they want to be able to command a woman to stay where she is, at least the married ones.
Some Republicans are advocating for making it harder for women to get a divorce, arguing that these laws have undermined the institutions, the institution of marriage, and led to social decay. One such advocate is J.D. Vance, who is a Trump VP hopeful.
This is one of the great tricks that I think the sexual revolution pulled on the American populace, which is this idea that, like, well, okay, these marriages were fundamentally, you know, they were maybe even violent, but certainly they were unhappy. And so getting rid of them and making it easier for people to shift spouses like they change their underwear, that's going to make people happier in the long term.
Ben Carson, a former presidential candidate and Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, calls for federal abortion restrictions and to no-fault divorce and new book, which make it easy for men or women to abandon their marriage, citing vague things like irreconcilable differences. For the sake of families, we should enact legislation to remove or radically reduce incidences of no-fault divorce, he wrote.
Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Christian nationalist, promotes what is called covenant marriage, a stricter form of marriage, of a marriage contract that would require counseling and proof of specific faults for a divorce to go through.
Well, fuck getting married then. Women being able to get a divorce without her husband's permission has reduced female suicide rates by 16%, along with domestic violence being reduced by 30%. And prevented roughly 10% of wives getting killed by their loving husbands. But if maggots had their way, women would literally be confined to the kitchen barefoot and pregnant, as my mother used to say, who lived through the 60s. Which is why I'm going to ask everyone listening, please vote for the corpse this November. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show, and to Durr for now.